Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The views expressed in this video are based on the sources listed in the video description. They do not reflect the opinions of Warner Brothers Media, Mortal Kombat, or any individuals associated with Mortal Kombat Online, including guest or host of the Realmcast, unless explicitly stated as personal opinions based upon the listed sources. This is merely discussion on the presented matters, and viewers are encouraged to conduct independent research and formulate their own viewpoints.
DEI, a term sparking debates within the gaming and multimedia community, has brought unwanted attention to Sweet Baby Inc. What role does Sweet Baby Inc. play, and has its involvement affected the iconic Mortal Kombat franchise? Welcome to another bite-sized episode of the Realmcast. I am your host, the Mortal Kombat fan, Tim.
And I'm Yanni. The video game industry has held a commitment towards environmental, social, and governance ESG policies, which include diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI principles. But recently, these forced policies have sparked backlash, particularly against companies like Sweet Baby Inc., with accusations of creative interference in game development and forced ideopolitical messaging. But could they have had an impact on Mortal Kombat 1?
We'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do, I still have G Fuel. I really do. I have a lot of G Fuel. We're giving it away as fast as we can. But if you want to learn how you can win some G Fuel, stick around to the end of the credits and we'll tell you what you got to do to enter our giveaway. Pretty simple. The crisis in the video game industry stems from various factors, but one in particular seems to be the forced integration of DEI principles. While diversity, equity, and inclusion has the apparent aim of diversifying stories, it often leads to increased production costs and polarizing or even divisive end products, leaving some paying customers feeling alienated. There is nothing wrong with diversity, equity, and inclusion. All are encouraged, especially by ourselves with our individual backgrounds. It feels good to be represented and seen. However, forced DEI has been heavily under scrutiny lately.
And for good reason. Instead of genuinely representing marginalized groups, these forced initiatives might end up just making surface-level changes and treating people as tokens rather than individuals, making an unfair basis on their backgrounds.
Despite this, major gaming studios like WB Games seem to spare no expense on implementing these policies, even going as far as to enlist third-party consulting agencies like Sweet Baby Inc., which has a dark history of being anything other than inclusionary.
Recently, Sweet Baby Inc. has been a big topic in the video game world. Founded in 2018 and based in Montreal, Canada, the studio positions itself as a champion of DEI in gaming narratives. However, their methods and practices have come under intense scrutiny for their impact on creative freedom, consumer satisfaction, product quality, and more. Their approach, which has in part raised concerns, is highlighted on their own website. We begin with an all-hands review and discussion of the project material. Everyone at Sweet Baby sees your project and shares their thoughts, feelings, and ideas. Critics argue that when Sweet Baby Inc. holds these sensitivity readings, ideological agendas are possibly prioritized over storytelling and creative expression, and can lead to lowered quality of the end product. Sweet Baby Inc. goes on to state themselves that they aren't afraid of breaking something down to build it back up. But forcing game developers to follow unnecessary restrictions might remove the authenticity and depth. Instead of helping, it may make diverse characters seem like tokens or harmful stereotypes. Some people from diverse backgrounds say they don't like seeing characters from their culture used just to meet a diversity quota. Sweet Baby Inc. claims to advocate for diversity and to bring joy to marginalized players, but they don't have much proof that their way works. They often just rely on their own ideas and backgrounds, rather than empirical, data-driven advice. By pushing their personal beliefs and backgrounds onto game developers and, as a result, players, they could end up making games that don't appeal to the main audience. This has led to an alienation of a core audience of paying gamers who seem to feel sidelined or misrepresented in the final product, with such effects being seen in many Steam reviews and general comments regarding the company, as well as their associated games.
But to further add fuel to the fire, Sweet Baby Inc. faces additional controversies, primarily due to its CEO, Kim Belair.
We still look at our core demographics and say, okay, they're white, cis, hetero males. And the problem is that we don't just cater to them. Like, we cater to them the way that we cater to, like, a picky baby. They react as a picky baby would. And we've actually done this so long that what we're doing is creating an entire nation of picky babies.
Remarks by Belair, such as comparing white male gamers to picky babies, not only downplay the concerns of a significant demographic, but also reveal a troubling mindset within the company that comes across as anti-white. This is not very inclusionary for a company which is brought on as a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant. To further add to the controversy, these statements come on the heels of Sweet Baby Inc. employee Chris Kindred's attempts to get a Steam curator list of all games Sweet Baby Inc. has worked on taken off Steam, as well as to get the list creator, Cabrutus, banned from the platform. The bragging of the targeted harassment of Cabrutus eventually led to Chris having their own account banned from Twitter instead. This targeted attack prompted gamers to take a further look into Sweet Baby Inc., where they discovered past tweets from 2016, where employee Maya Kramer seems to represent an intense disdain for white people, with tweets such as, "Pay me to shoot down your white male lead game ideas," and other controversial tweets, it has become more clear what these sensitivity readings may result in.
This, as well as CEO Belair's previously mentioned anti-white comments, further demonstrate behavior that raises questions about the company's commitment to actual inclusivity and tolerance. Sweet Baby Inc.'s involvement in projects like Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has shown how their meddling can harm the final product. This was evident in Warner Brothers' recent earnings calls, where they admitted that the game's sales have, quote, fallen short of our expectations. Some believe this is because of Sweet Baby Inc.'s heavy-handed approach to storytelling, although that is not to say Warner Brothers doesn't share some of the blame. Spoiler warning here for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, the methods in which the Suicide Squad do end up killing the Justice League perhaps demonstrate these narrative choices. The male Justice League members meet embarrassing and emasculating deaths, like Flash being urinated on, Green Lantern stripped down to cartoonish boxers, and Batman mocked before being shot in the head on a park bench, in what is the legendary Kevin Conroy's final appearance as the iconic Caped Crusader. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman's death is portrayed as tragic, and she is even tearfully mourned by all the Suicide Squad members. These narrative choices have been attributed to DEI mandates, which could possibly be influenced by Sweet Baby Inc.'s creative interference.
The game's failure hurt developer Rocksteady's reputation, and led to backlash and boycotts of other games linked to Sweet Baby Inc. These missteps damaged not only the studio's reputation, but also the credibility of diversity initiatives in gaming. Balancing diversity with creative freedom is crucial to respect both creators and players.
But what does this have to do with Mortal Kombat?
In light of these controversies, many gamers have voiced their opposition to Sweet Baby Inc.'s practices, leading to organized boycotts of games associated with the company. Mortal Kombat 1 is one such game that may have fallen into these boycotts. While Sweet Baby Inc. is listed as a production company on IMDb for the game, they're not actually mentioned in the game's credits. This discrepancy has made some boycotters wary of the game. The creator of a popular boycott list on Steam, Cabrutus, removed Mortal Kombat 1 from their list due to doubts about information from IMDb, which can, of course, be edited by anyone. Even though it's not clear what Sweet Baby Inc.'s role was in making Mortal Kombat 1, both NetherRealm Studios and Rocksteady Games, which made Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, are subsidiaries of Warner Bros. Games. This leaves fans wondering if Sweet Baby Inc. had an impact in decisions or direction for the game. The idea that Sweet Baby Inc. might have been involved in Mortal Kombat 1 worries some gamers, who fear their influence threatens to compromise the essence of the iconic franchise. However, it is important to note that while Sweet Baby Inc.'s specific contributions to Mortal Kombat 1 remain unclear, if WBD did choose to bring on another production team for DEI consulting, this could eventually lead to further production costs. This also might suggest a lack of trust in their own studio, and a disregard for DEI principles, making it seem like just another requirement to fulfill. To cover the costs of bringing on yet another production company to consult on the game, Warner Bros. Discovery might pass the financial burden onto consumers. This is potentially evident in practices such as charging $10 for fatalities and incorporating microtransactions quite heavily within the game.
Critics of these forced DEI tactics have come under fire, especially from outlets like Kotaku and PC Gamer directly attacking them. However, these articles seem more like advertisements for Sweet Baby Inc. than fair assessments. They don't give objective analysis or genuine defenses, but instead seem to provide coverage that some perceive as biased and selective in its presentation of information, while blaming gamers and society for the backlash against forced DEI practices. For example, Kotaku's article, Sweet Baby Inc. Doesn't Do What Some Gamers Think It Does, defends Sweet Baby Inc. from gamers' concerns, suggesting they're just unfounded conspiracy theories with this mere title alone. The author seems to sympathize with Sweet Baby Inc., portraying them as victims of harassment. This biased approach downplays and dismisses valid concerns raised by gamers,
as well as straight up ignores potential harassment by Sweet Baby Inc.'s own employees, as mentioned earlier, with the issue with Cabrutus.
Furthermore, the article cherry-picks quotes and examples to support its narrative, while sidelining opposing viewpoints. By mostly featuring Sweet Baby Inc.'s side and minimizing criticism, the article fails to offer any sort of comprehensive assessment of the controversy surrounding the company's practices. Similarly, PC Gamer released an article titled, A Company Called Sweet Baby Inc. Has Become the Target of Anti-Woke Gamers because it offers consultancy work, an industry standard service that's been normal for years. Now, the title alone is extremely long, and this article, along with its title, suggests that criticism might be unfounded, implying that those who raise concerns are against inclusivity. However, this overlooks the detailed critiques of Sweet Baby Inc.'s methods.
Both articles fail to address the concerns raised by gamers, instead portraying them as opposed to inclusivity. They seem to be trying to damage control and divert attention from valid issues by painting critics as intolerant bigots who simply oppose inclusivity, regardless of those critics' backgrounds. While consulting firms like Sweet Baby Inc. provide suggestions rather than rules, their impact on storytelling in games is significant. It's unlikely that companies would pay their hefty fees without considering their advice, making the dismissal of criticism seem insincere. This is especially true in situations where the companies are choosing to pay for these services because they seem to lack the core values they believe they require in ensuring DEI principles within the company. In this case, paying for the service and accepting the provided advice and recommendations without asking questions would be the most efficient method, particularly in the case where those involved from the company directly are not in a position to care about DEI, aside from checking it off the list.
These recent articles from Kotaku and PC Gamer show how vital it is to carefully and critically evaluate what the media says and to listen to fans' thoughts and worries. They also point out the need to see things from a global perspective, not just one country's view. Instead of ignoring fan concerns by calling them names or saying that they're part of a conspiracy, it's crucial to look at the real problems, like the company's anti-diversity statements. We need to address these serious issues instead of making fun of critics and deflecting attention from legitimate concerns.
Backlash against ESG and forced DEI practices is growing, with gamers rejecting games associated with Sweet Baby Inc. and similar companies. This rejection extends beyond gaming, as more people recognize the negative impact of these forced policies. Even major ESG proponents like BlackRock are acknowledging potential negative impacts on their businesses, signaling a shift in attitudes towards corporate responsibility. Many diversity, equity, and inclusion policies are not only controversial, but may even break the law. Companies like CBS and Paramount are currently facing legal trouble because of exactly this. As of the time of this episode's recording, they are being sued by a writer who says he was denied employment opportunity based on his identity as a white heterosexual man. The lawsuit claims that the companies prioritized meeting diversity quotas of women, people of color, and LGBTQIAP+, over his own qualifications, favoring candidates from underrepresented groups, even if they lacked the same qualifications. While the writer's individual skills remain uncertain, Paramount and CBS's public commitments to maintaining a specific demographic with at least 50% of their talent falling into specific demographics may help his case significantly. Even Warner Bros. Discovery has been struggling with their own repercussions of their choices. An article from the Wall Street Journal in 2022 called "Can Warner Bros. Uncancel J.K. Rowling?" talks about how Warner Bros. Tried to include J.K. Rowling in the 2022 Max Harry Potter cast reunion, despite boycotts to her controversial transgender views. Instances like this highlight corporate decisions to make money despite what backlash they may endure. Real principles and integrity seem secondary to any potential profits, as they ignore any backlash and find it more worth their time to risk such controversies. Instead, when faced with criticism, they often just say sorry without really changing anything, relying on further distractions to hold consumers' attention. And that's if they even address the controversy. During an Aspen Institute event titled "The Future of DEI in Corporate America" on February 20th, Warner Bros. Discovery Chief DEI Officer Dr. Asif Sadiq made it clear that there is a solution to those who don't conform to their DEI efforts.
You know, there's always those few people who you'll never change. You'll never convince them. You can try for your, you know, up until the end of eternity and it will still not happen. Hopefully those people who don't want to come around will start saying that this place isn't the way it used to be and they'll leave themselves, which is great.
There's always those few people who will never change. You will never convince them. You can try up until the end of eternity and it will still not happen. Hopefully those people who don't want to come around will start saying that this place isn't the way it used to be and they'll leave themselves, which is great. Quoted, despite corporations like Sweet Baby Inc. forcing a seemingly false DEI effort in gaming, the gaming community shows it's important to listen to what players want. This is clear in how gamers reject forced DEI. For example, Stellar Blade, a game some say objectifies characters, is selling so well that it's even number 2 on Amazon pre-orders. This rejection by gamers shows that companies like Warner Bros. Need to start paying attention to their audience if they want to remain profitable and have a positive impact on the gaming industry. DEI must be as organic as possible and genuine, not a forced token inclusion to tick off a checkbox. I think that the idea here, in terms of, you know, inclusion, etc., diversity, I definitely personally agree with the idea of being able to involve more diverse people of more diverse backgrounds, you know, such as ourselves. I think that this is a positive thing, but only if it's done fairly and not to the detriment of others, you know. And I don't mean that in the sense, you can always argue, oh, well, if these people are being affected by it, then it's to their detriment. I don't mean it in that way. I mean it in a sense that it's not done in such a way where it's sort of discriminatory. And I know that in the US, this whole idea of, let's just say, white people being discriminated against is not a thing, apparently, because you have to be the minority. And I'm sorry, but that's systemic racism, for example. That's not the actual definition here. In this case, if you're going to be arguing that, then I mean, I could argue that if we're in a different country, that the white people are going to be minorities there. So it's not exactly the correct argument to make here. In this case, what's actually actively happening, as far as we can tell, and I think you agree with me here, is that there are people who seem to have extreme prejudices against white heterosexual people, specifically males in many instances, and they are really sort of taking it out on them by pushing them completely out of the picture and forcing others of backgrounds, such as our own backgrounds, which you know, I would normally be very happy to see, but not in this manner. What do you think?
Yeah, this is such a sensitive topic, you know, but the fact of the matter is you should be rewarded on your merits. Like, if you're good at something, that should determine, regardless of your race, your sexuality, whatever you're good at, like, that should be recognized. And if somebody is better at something than you are, then of course they should get that position. And this all stems from discrimination. Like, that's basically what it is and what it seems to be, especially in instances like hiring a consulting firm who has very obviously shown bias and discrimination to head up your anti-discrimination policies. That's just crazy to me. And the media spins, like we mentioned with Kotaku and stuff, they're basically passing it off as Gamergate 2.0. And that's not really what this is.
No, not at all. And I mean, another big issue here is that the companies hiring companies like Sweet Baby Inc., let's just say in this case, Warner Bros., the people handling this hiring, I would argue, do not give a damn about any of the diversity, equality, inclusion principles here. They do not. This to them is a checklist. It's not done in an organic way. And if anything, it's also done in multiple instances, as we've seen throughout this video, through the sources that we've mentioned. It's actually done to the detriment of the quality of the games that they have been involved in. It's, how can you go to, say, the developers and tell them, okay, you know, this part of your script needs to change because it doesn't include somebody of this background or whatever. I'm sorry, but that's not how it should be done. And that's how it seemingly comes across, when in reality, it should be a consultation saying, look, this part, this works. However, you know, you could fit somebody of this background here and make this fit with this, you know, like, it's too forced. It's way too forced. And it comes at the cost of the quality of the games and potentially at the cost of the artistic vision of the developers as well.
Yanni, just a quick correction. You said equality instead of equity a few times by mistake, and I just want to make it clear to our listeners that they are different. Webster's actually says that equity is the quality of being fair and impartial, while equality is defined as the state of being equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. So they aren't exactly the same thing, because the whole goal of equity is to raise up those who aren't equal into the position where they have an equal opportunity. I think the Suicide Squad stuff was very interesting in doing our research for everything that we discussed today. You basically took all of your white cis male characters and made them into the butt of jokes, but took the only female character that was on the opposing side and made her an iconic death.
In what is Kevin Conroy's apparent last appearance in a video game.
Yes.
The legendary Kevin Conroy.
Made so many people upset and angry about it. Like, it was a slap in the face to everybody who'd grown up with Batman the Animated Series. Like,
yeah.
He's Batman.
And this is apparently also canon to the Arkham games, which no fans agree to, you know, no fans accept.
Yeah.
It's such a disrespectful way of going about it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we've talked about before, we're not a Justice League podcast. We are a Mortal Kombat podcast. And I guess the question is, do you think that they had any hand in Mortal Kombat 1? Because they are listed on IMDb as one of the production companies. What do you think here?
See, on the one hand, it wouldn't surprise me, seeing as they have worked with Warner Bros. On Warner Bros. Intellectual property already, as we've already seen. But on the other hand, is there anything that really sticks out to you in, let's just say, Mortal Kombat 1 that you could say, oh, this looks like something that would have been forced by Sweet Baby Inc.? Does anything really stand out to you?
The only thing I can think of, and this is something there was a lot of backlash was Tanya's design. She seemed to have more of an Egyptian look in past games. They completely took her and used kind of like Black Panther style influence in her current rendition. And there's a lot of people that didn't like that. That's the only real thing. As far as in the story, I myself can't think of anything off the top of my head that is out of place for how Mortal Kombat has been written since Warner Brothers took place. You know, we've seen stuff in the last couple games that do see very pro DEI. There was even like a anti-Trump section in Mortal Kombat 11, I think it was. The Make Outworld Great Again you know, comparing Donald Trump to Shao Kahn is a very heavy-handed political statement, ideopolitical statement in the games. But Mortal Kombat 1, I don't see a lot of that messaging just at first glance.
Another thing that could be considered DEI, and you know, a lot of people have mentioned this, is the changing of Johnny Cage for Janet Cage. And we actually have a Bite-Sized episode going deeper into that. And I don't think that is actually related to this at all. I think there's a completely different reason for it. And we go into a lot of specifics on that particular topic in that Bite-Sized episode. So if you want to check it out, the link is in the description below.
Firstly, just to comment on the whole Tanya thing. Now, while you already know my thoughts on Tanya's modified appearance, I preferred when she looked more sort of ancient Egyptian inspired theme, you know, that for me was a huge part of the allure to the character. I've mentioned before, and ironically I'm using the exact keyboard right now, I really like ancient Egypt, the mythology and everything, you know, these are all hieroglyphs and everything, and I love that. But I didn't like the change to the character in terms of appearance, not because I think she's ugly or whatever, although I must admit that screen capture that everybody has from the story is not exactly the most flattering. But the face scan model is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful.
But it's less about the attractiveness of the character and just more about the inspired sort of origins of the character. And now, you say here that it could be something that might have been affected by, let's just say, Sweet Baby Inc. But we also do have to remember, we did have this discussion in the past about the Umgadi. And the Umgadi is in Zulu means sentry or guard. So this was clearly a part of the story, and we've just talked about how Sweet Baby Inc. can sort of force themselves into the story and such, but I don't know, like, if we're looking back at, say, Mortal Kombat 11 and Mortal Kombat 1, and we compare them, we've already seen certain political mentions and such, and so, I don't know, this just feels like it's part of Mortal Kombat's last couple of entries, as we've already seen it, it's consistent, you know, between MK11, which I don't believe has any mention of Sweet Inc. ever.
I didn't see the reports.
Exactly. So this to me seems consistent with Mortal Kombat 11, and even if anything, toned down to an extent. I would argue that if anything really does stand out more in terms of, hate to use this word for this, political, then it would be the Tarkat COVID comparison, and COVID should not be political, but here we are. So it's just, I don't know, looking at it from a more international lens, It's very weird for me to sort of just see this very, I say American, I know that they're based in Canada, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to say, ironically, or hypocritically maybe, you know, this American sort of viewpoint in that this is how you go about diversity, equality, inclusion, that it has to be this American viewpoint in terms of this inclusion, whereas
Yanni,
the rest of the world is not.
Canada is part of America.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but continent. I'm just saying, I know, but people are going to differentiate between them, saying, oh, the countries are different. Yes. However, you're on the same continent. So, but you get what I'm saying in the sense that, let's just say European mindsets, Middle Eastern mindsets, Far Eastern mindsets, they are not going to have a similar take on DEI that is going to be the case in, say, America, especially by those who are extremely vocal in their alignment as to these sort of topics.
There is another option here too, which we didn't really discuss as we were going through presenting all this information. It is possible that Warner Brothers Discovery is somehow pushing this negative attention towards Sweet Baby Inc. to kind of take attention off of itself. We've discussed in our last Soul stream how there doesn't seem to be a lot of accountability with Warner Brothers leadership. And you know, everything going on right now with their monetization models, like they just made an announcement how they're going to be leaning really heavy into monetization, even more than we've discussed in our past bite-sized episodes. This issue with Sweet Baby Inc. Has been documented for over 10 years, and they're just now coming out right after we find out what the plan is for Warner Brothers games. So the timing seems a little suspect. By keeping your attention on Sweet Baby Inc., you're taking all the criticisms away from what we were talking about previously, which was that Warner Brothers is going to be monetizing everything from now on. So
extremely intensely.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could be completely right. I mean, one important thing to note as well is that they don't seem to be very conscious of the negative response or fan reception. Even if they are, they just do not care. But at the same time, distraction is probably the easiest way for them to just be like in the boardroom, like, they're all complaining about this. Let's give them something else to talk about. And
yeah,
as you said, that's exactly what we've done with this video. So that could definitely be an approach that they would take. I would not be surprised. The important thing, in my opinion, is to make sure that both conversations are continued to be followed up on by all fans and all gamers and everybody who is related in the entertainment industry. And even if you're not, you know, because it all does come together at some point.
So we're curious what you think, the audience. Do you think this is some conspiracy theory for Warner Bros. To throw Sweet Baby Inc. under the bus? Or do you think Sweet Baby Inc. is the company that is forcing these DEI policies? Do you think they should be part of the video game industry at all? Or maybe they don't really have any say in this and they're just giving recommendations? Let us know your thoughts. Post it down in the comments. We want to hear what you guys think.
And if you are enjoying this content, please be sure to subscribe. We do have a lot more on the way. And if you prefer our other types of content, be sure to check out our other shows like the actual Realmcast podcast itself, the Soulstream live show, or follow the dragon over to MortalKombatOnline.com for your source for everything Mortal Kombat. Until next time, remember, every warrior has a story and every saga a lesson.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Thanks for sticking around. As I mentioned, we have a lot of G Fuel. We want to give this to you guys. This is just to show our appreciation to all of our fans for subscribing to the Realmcast. So if you're interested in winning any G Fuel between now and our next Soul Stream, leave a comment in any of our videos and we'll take all of the comments, anybody who entered the giveaway, and we will be doing a drawing. You don't have to say I want G Fuel or anything like that. All you gotta do is leave a comment. Tell us what you think about the episode. Is that simple. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we do have this collector's edition Dancing Dragon pack from G Fuel. I'm going to open it up just so you guys can see. It comes with this Mortal Kombat 1 Liu Kang shaker bottle, which is actually made out of aluminum. It keeps your drink cold. You can take this to the gym. It has a built-in little shaker thing, so it'll shake your powders together. You can even like sit at your desk like I do, mix up your drink and sip on it while you're watching the show. And it also comes with the Dancing Dragon Liu Kang G Fuel. This particular flavor is dragon fruit mango. Really good, especially if you like more of the fruity G Fuel flavors. So we have that in the collector's box. All you got to do to enter to win this is be a subscriber. Just subscribe to the Realmcast. We're going to be going through our subscribers and giving away this G Fuel during our Soul Stream, which if you're not familiar with that, that is our live show where we go through with our guests and interact with you guys. So just subscribe and we will announce the winner. And then just reach out to us after you've won and we'll give it to you. If you have won any of our giveaways in the past, please do reach out to us because we're just going to keep giving this up away until it's gone. And if you don't claim it, we'll probably just pass it on to the next person. So if you want some G Fuel, you want some Dancing Dragon collector's box set, let us know because we want to give this to you guys. We appreciate every single one of our fans for subscribing, for interacting with us. We'd like to hear what you guys think. So leave a comment on the video itself. Tell us what you think about it. and win some G Fuel. I mentioned it before, we got four different flavors that we're going to be giving away. We have the Dancing Dragon, we have the Sub-Zero Ice Shatter, we got the Scorpion Sting Spicy Mango, and we got the Raiden Electric Stripe. These are all the Mortal Kombat Classic 30 Edition canisters, except the Liu Kang, which is the Mortal Kombat 1, brand new flavor, Dancing Dragon. If you guys haven't tried G Fuel, this is a great opportunity to do it. It's all sugar-free, and it's been known to give gamers a little bit of an edge with increased energy, focus, endurance, and reaction speed. So it's yours. All you got to do is leave a comment and claim it. For every comment we receive on our YouTube channel and for every subscriber that we have, we're going to be going through and giving you a chance to win. We'll announce all the winners on our next Soul Stream. And like I've said, we want to give this to you guys because we want to say thank you for tuning into everything that we do here with Mortal Kombat Online. So leave a comment and subscribe, and you get a chance to win some of this cool stuff that we have. So come get some G Fuel. We'll send it your way. And again, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the Romcast. We do the show for you because we love Mortal Kombat, and we want to share that with all of you.